Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as we'll continue on in our study. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been talking about we're dealing with the believer's judgment. We haven't actually got to that yet because we did an introduction. It's always important to know the story or the context around the text, I guess I could say it that way. We need to know what we're talking about here. And so last week, we began in verse 11. And we went through and explained, and I'll try to do that as quickly as I can, in case you weren't here, and of course to remind us where we're going to, is in verse 11 it says, "For other foundations can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus." So we find out that there's a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ, all right, in verse 11. And then, and by the way, Matthew chapter 7, you remember the story of building the two houses? What was the primary problem with the one house? Didn't really have a foundation, did it? It was built on sand. So in reality, there wasn't a foundation. You know, it'd be like building a building out here and just building and putting cement on top of the ground. Well, that's not really a foundation because we got to get down so far. Without getting technical, you have to get down below the frost line and so forth. You got to get solid place to put your foundation. Then you can build it up. So our foundation as a Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the church. It's not good works, not all those things. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 then says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," the foundation is Jesus Christ, we're building. Now what we're going to talk about is building material. When he uses the term gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, it's not actually gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. It's an illustration of what? Good building material versus bad building material. Yeah. I mean, building a straw house is all right if you're a pig, but you don't want to have one if you're not, all right? You got to be careful what you build on your foundation. And if your foundation of your life is Jesus Christ, and there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved, and that's Jesus Christ, that's your foundation, then you start building. And what is your building? What is your life? Building materials. Now, I can tell you exactly what it needs to be. We have a problem with good works, don't we? Somebody wants to make the foundation good works. It is not good works. Salvation doesn't come by good works. But once the foundation is laid, good works is important, and that's exactly what he's talking about here. How do you know that, preacher? How do you know he's talking about good works? Well, verse 12 again says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble," look at this, verse 13, "every man's" what? There you go. Is your work gold, silver, and precious stone, or is your work wood, hay, and stubble? Is it actually good work as God sees it? Not as you see it, by the way, or I see it. But is it good work as God sees it? See? So every man's work shall be made manifest. That is, brought to light. Whether it's wood, hay, or stubble, brought to light. Whether it's gold, silver, and precious stone. In other words, is it a good work that God is pleased with, or is it a bad work that God is not pleased with? Our life after our foundation, because it doesn't matter what you do until you get saved. If you're not saved, you don't have a foundation. But once you got the foundation, it does matter what you do. It does matter how you live your life. It does matter how you think. And if your life is built on you, after your salvation, you still have a stinking life. God says it's hay, wood, and stubble. God says when it comes time for the judgment. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the believer's judgment here. Not the lost judgment, but the believer's judgment. What's the problem? God says, when I judge it, the fire is judgment. Again, he's not saying he's going to have a blowtorch out there. What he's saying is, I want to judge your works. I'm going to judge your life. I want to judge the way you think. I'm going to judge the things you do. By the way, it might look good to you and me. You know what God looks at? God looks at the reason why you do what you do. I might do things and somebody said, boy, what a nice guy he is. And, you know, a lot of people say that because it's true. But people look at you and say, oh, you know, it was so nice the way they did this. Or, oh, my. What? But God looks at the heart. That's where the judgment comes. God looks at why you do what you do. Some people say nice things. And you know why they say it? Because they're trying to get something out of it. Right? They're trying to get around you and for whatever reason. Well, God looks at that and goes, that's not going to stand. When judgment comes, it's going to be gone. We'll look at it and say, oh, weren't they nice? No. God says, I see your heart. God always looks at our heart. You know what? Sometimes we judge people and we say, my, who do they think they are? They must think they're something. And God's going, it's good. Because he sees the heart. He sees why you did what you did. Sometimes people step up and say, no, that is not right. And somebody looks and says, boy, they're judgmental. Boy, they think they know better than everybody. No, maybe that person is trying to stop somebody from doing something wrong. God has spoke to their heart and said, please, you know, step in there and be a true brother or sister for Christ. Or step in there and tell that person about what they need to do to be saved. They're not truly saved. I had somebody in church, I think it was this Sunday, or maybe it was last Sunday, I can't remember. But anyway, after church boy, just what you were talking about was true. I asked a certain pastor to go see, you know, this member of our family, and we just knew it wasn't saved, but that pastor came back and said, well, I talked to them. They said they're saved. She had another, I think it was pastor or somebody, go to them and came back the same thing. Finally, one of the family members went and talked to them, set them down and explained what it means to know Christ as your Savior according to the Bible. And that person said, you know, I always thought I was saved. I guess I'm not. And they bowed their head and prayed and accept Christ as their Savior. Now, there's three people there. Two of them did works that God says, that isn't good. You know. And we've probably all done that. We've all just take people at their word. We haven't gone far enough. But that one person went far enough, and that person is going to heaven today because and somebody else might have watched and said, boy, who do they think they are? They got, you know, they put that person on spot or whatever. All I'm saying is, God sees the heart. Sees the reason. That's why Paul said, I judge nothing before it's time. Because I can't see your heart. I can't see why you said what you said, did what you did. Only God can do that. So we need to be careful. Now we judge right from wrong. Somebody's out trying to steal something. That's wrong. I don't have to wait for God to judge that. That's obvious, right? Somebody is hurting somebody. That's wrong. We ought to judge that as wrong and maybe be a help in that case. I'm talking about those things that only God sees in the heart. See? And so God looks at those hay, wood, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. It's simply this. One can withstand the fire of judgment of God. The other material cannot stand it. One is right. One is wrong. One is good. One is bad. And God sees it, and he sees the heart, and he knows why it was done, what was done, when it was done, and he's going to judge that. Now, we need to see that and understand that if we're going to build upon that foundation. And then verse 13 again said, every man's work shall be made manifest, brought to light, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That's simply that judgment. That fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. Let me ask you, what do you think the subject of these verses is all about. We've got the foundation built. Now, what's the subject of all these verses? The foundation is Jesus Christ. When you accept Christ, He's your foundation. So what's the rest of this all about? Our works. I think God gets upset with us sometimes. We read the Bible and we put in there what we think. It's very plain what God says if we just stop and think about what God says. We need to read our Bible the way God has it in there. And sometimes we have a tendency to take over what we think into what God says. And, we got to be careful with that. He's talking about works here. Now notice verse 14. If any man's work, work. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, why would it abide or why would it stand? Because it withstood the judgment of Christ, right? That fire, so to speak. All right? And so if it's work that stands upon your foundation, Jesus Christ, your life and your work that is done, and God judges it, only God knows the heart, so He judges it, and that's that picture of fire against the gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. What will happen if it's standing? It's the gold, silver, and precious stone type. In other words, it's going to stand on the foundation. Guess what? If that stands, what happens to you? You get to go to heaven? No. What does that say in verse 14? You get a reward. So it's about your works after you're saved, your works and your reward. That is what this is about. It's not about whether you're going to heaven or you're not going to heaven. Are you saved or you're not saved? He's talking to the saved. There's only one foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Once you establish the foundation of Jesus Christ as your salvation, that's settled. That's dug and laid and done with. Now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to build upon it? Now that's where God's good works comes in. See? When you try to make it your good works, you're talking about your righteousness. And your righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. It's God's righteousness is the foundation. All right, I'm here. My foundation is Jesus Christ's righteousness. What about your righteousness? It's not my righteousness, not the foundation. Well, what about your righteousness? Well, now that I've got the foundation, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to build my life. I'm going to find out what God wants, and I want to do that. And when judgment time comes, guess what's going to happen? All those good works that's done, built upon the foundation, the good works, the gold, silver, and precious, guess what's going to happen? When God judges, it's going to stand. And God's got a reward for you when it stands. Then he says in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, that is, it's judged by God, because only God knows the heart, and it burns up, in other words, it's not good, then he's going to suffer loss. What loss would he suffer based upon verse 14? His reward. But notice this, but he himself shall be saved. You know why? Because you're on the foundation. Your foundation of your salvation is Jesus Christ. Guess what? If your foundation is good works, I'm trying to work my way to heaven, guess what's going to happen? Your foundation's going to burn up too. I mean, it's not going to work. If your foundation is, I believe in baptism is going to get me to heaven, guess what's going to happen? Judgment's going to, whoosh, it's gone. You're going to die and go to hell unless you have the foundation of Christ's righteousness that you've built your life upon. Does that make sense? I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did, not because of what I did. Well, isn't it important to live your life for the Lord? Yeah, because He's going to judge your life on that foundation, and you can lose or gain reward for it. And I want God, what do you want God to say when you get to heaven? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. When He judged your works, built upon the foundation, He's going to look at you and say, well done. I think there's going to be tears in heaven. Then He's going to wipe away all those tears. But when's the tears coming? When we are judged and we see what we could have had, what could have been done, what God wanted. And I think when we all look at the Lord and the nail prints in His hands, those deep marks in His head, the back and all, you know, all that happened there, and we think of the world and what it had to offer, and yet we allowed the world to dictate to us some things, and we lost those rewards because we built a little hay, wood, and stubble over here instead of the gold, silver, and precious stones, the good material, the right material. So it's important. Good works is important after your salvation because there are rewards. God wants to bless you as you have lived your life according to His will. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? It dwells within the believer. If you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. So the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. He says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that He dwells in you. So know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Don't you know that, He says to the Corinthians? If any man defile that temple, that is your body, the temple of God, him shall God destroy. He's talking about the body. You remember what I said last week? I said, God is in our body through the Holy Spirit, and if the temple is being defiled, that is, we as Christians have the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we continually defile the temple, and people see that defiling. You're not only defiling your body, but you are also what? Bringing shame to your Savior. And the word defile here is actually the same word that's been translated destroyed in that same verse. It's, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God defile. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. How does God defile? He defiles by taking it away. That's why the King James Version says destroy, because that's the picture. When we defile, then God defiles the defiler. How does He do that? He takes that body away. You know, the old saying, you know, you live your life wrong, God may take you early. Absolutely. That's what it's actually saying there. You get to the place where God said, that's enough. He's a mean God, isn't He? He takes you to heaven. But that's how good God is. He says, no, things are bad here. We need to get you out of here. You're messing up, you know, God's testimony, and I'm just going to take you to heaven. And guess what? That person, they lose reward. There's going to be some Christians, about all they have is Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, what is Jesus Christ in these passages of Scripture here? He's the foundation. See, that's where it starts. But God wants more for your life than that. God doesn't just want your foundation. I'm saved, and that's about it. No, God says, now that you're saved, that's the beginning. Now let's move on. And God can do great things in you and through you if you yield your life to Him. So He says, listen, no temple is better than a defiled temple. You know, it's better off just to have no temple. Take your body away. And when you take your body away, what happens? The body dies, but your foundation, Jesus Christ, what happens to you? You go on to go to heaven. You have eternal life. But He said, I'd rather have no temple. Because we are the light that shines. And if our light's not shining, if we're more or less distributing darkness more than we are light, and we're, by the way, do you know you don't live unto yourself? You know, every time you and I have a bad attitude, every time you and I are not where we ought to be, doing what we ought to be doing, we're affecting other people for the Lord. You know, when I look out in the church and I look around and there's people missing and so forth and all that, you know what? It discourages me. I assume it would discourage others. It should. I mean, we all feel that way. It's the right way to feel. Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why that? Because as it gets darker out there, we need to stick together. As things are happening in this life, we need one another. I need you. You need me. We need one another. See? We need to encourage one another, help one another. We need to sit in the church and let a loudmouth preacher teach us. Why? Because he's so great? No, because we need the Bible. And then, so he says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So let no man deceive himself. All right, that's where we was at last week. I made this statement. God's judgment deals with our sin, our sanctification, and our service. Those three things. God's judgment deals with, and we're talking about Christians here, he deals with our sin, our sanctification, and our service. Or in other words, he deals with the totality of our life. What do you mean? The past, the present, and the future. When God judges, he deals with the past, the present that we live in, and he deals with the future. He deals with it all. The totality of your life and my life, he has dealt with. He has judged it. The first one that we have here, God's judgment, deals with our sin. That has to be dealt with. By the way, this is not, I just come up with something and thought, well, we'll put sin first, sanctification second, and service last. No, no, it's in that order. You got to get saved before you can serve. You can't get sanctified until you got saved. You understand what I'm saying? It has to be in that order. The first thing God judges is sin. So, let's look at that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I get tired here lately. I guess that's just part of whatever the problem is. I'm not sure what that problem is, but I get tired, and that tiredness is—it's like the ever-ready battery rabbit, but I'm running down, you know. And when I'm running down, I can't concentrate. And it's been hard for me because of that. You know, I mean, you're sitting at a desk. Any of you ever sat somewhere and you're trying to study something? Next thing you can't remember what you was thinking about or whatever. And it's been hard for me. And this is the most energy I've had in 2-3 weeks now. My wife's saying, "What happened to this guy?" She's looking up there like, watching me bounce around. Of course, I'll probably go home today and tonight and, you know, keel over. But anyway, our sin. God's dealing with this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and let's look down at verse 24. Let's start at verse 21. For even hereunto were you called. Now wait a minute. Whereunto you were called. You know what that means? This is what you're supposed to be doing. Christians, this is what you and I are supposed to be doing. Hereunto were you called, because Christ, I boxed in Christ here, but because I'm going to come back to it and I'll show you what I mean. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. That word example is the same word we might find as pattern. Alright, this is the pattern. This is the example. That ye should follow his steps. You want to know how to live your life? Follow the steps of the Lord. Where do I find the steps of the Lord? Well, my Bible says, Psalm 119, it says what? The Word of God is a light. So I can step. And so, go to the Word. Find out what God says for us to do, what Jesus did. So he said, should follow his steps. Who did no sin? This is one of these verses in your Bible. You ought to have this marked. People say, well, I think Jesus sinned. It's 65% of the people surveyed said that they believed Jesus sinned while he's here upon this earth. Why did they say that? What do you think they said that?
Don't know the Word of God.
One reason. I think another reason is it makes them feel better, right? I mean, if he's, well, you know, the Lord sinned. I mean, sure, I sinned. I want to tell you something. I'm glad he didn't sin. Amen. I don't want to follow one that's not leading me in the right direction. I always want to know I'm going in the right direction. See, I want a Savior that is sinless. I was always thankful that in the Bible, when God wrote about men and women, he always told about their sin. I'm also very thankful when he talked about God himself or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, not like my spirit. Jesus is, as it says here, what did he say there? He said, verse 22, who did no sin? He didn't do any sin. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What in the world does guile mean? Guile means deception, defrauding, deceiving. When he spoke, guess what he spoke? The absolute truth. Oh, I'm glad of that. I want a God that I can believe. I want a God that when he says something, that's the way it is. I don't have to think about it, don't have to worry about it. He don't even have to prove it to me. He is without sin. He speaks the truth. There was no guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now, what are we supposed to be doing here? He's our pattern. How should we behave? What's part of our good works that we're building up on there? Well, here's what he did. When he was reviled, he didn't revile again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. There's that judgment again. What do we say? Only God knows the heart. Verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins. What does it mean, we being dead to sins? Well, you and I know, we know perfectly that there's sin out there and sometimes we have a problem with it. So that can't be what it means. What it means is, he paid the sin debt. It's done. It's like you came along and you paid a debt that I owe, and I go and I say, I want to pay it. And they said, no, there is no debt. That debt has been paid. In other words, I'm dead to that debt. I can't pay it. He paid it. See? Understand what I'm saying? You're dead to sin. Simply the fact is, that sin debt, once you reach out and accept the payment of Christ, and he becomes your foundation, your sin debt's paid. You're dead to that sin. You're not dead to sin out here. We all have a problem, don't we? Sometimes when we get reviled, we revile right back to them. We let them know it, and then it's like, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have acted that way. Said something mean and nasty I shouldn't have said. Did something I shouldn't have done. Of course. So don't think that the Bible teaches once you're saved and you have the foundation of Jesus Christ, you'll never sin again. That isn't what it said. It's talking about what? God judging your sin. How did God judge your sin? Well, what did he say here? He said, who, by the way, is that Christ up there in verse 21. That, notice the who's, look at verse 22. Who, verse 23. Who, verse 24. Who, you know who is? Jesus Christ. That's why I boxed that Christ there. Because all the who's here, all the who's in Whoville, all the who's here is Christ. All right? So, you can actually say, verse 22, Christ did no sin. Christ, when he was reviled. Verse 24, Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, now being dead to sin, because it's paid for, that debt has been paid, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you are healed. Because he paid your sin debt, you don't live about the sin, now you live in his righteousness. How are you building your life? How are you living? How do you speak? When you talk, are you a blessing? Do you show Christ in your life? Where you go and the things you do, is it Christ being honored? Is Christ being glorified? Those are good works. Those are the gold, silver, and precious stone works that when God judges them, they stay. Or is our life built with hay, wood, and stubble? Because when God judges it, it's like fire. It's what's going to happen to when you put fire to hay, wood, and stubble, what happens? It's gone. See? Then he went on to say here, by whose stripes you were healed. Now what's he been talking about here? Talking about sin, right? Now don't get me wrong, I believe in God's healing power. We're kind of crazy to be praying for God to reach down and touch Don Halsey's body or pray for them. I'm a hypocrite. I go into the hospital and I bow my head with somebody and pray for them and ask God to guide the surgeon's hands and heal up the body and make it. I believe in a healing God. But he's not actually talking about healing of the flesh, although God can heal. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he can't. But he's talking about what? Heal your sin problem. How did he do that? He paid it. What does that... That now gives you freedom to do what? Live your life in righteousness. Now you can live. We weren't set at liberty to sin more. God paid for our sins, gave us the Holy Spirit. Now we're set at liberty to do what? Build upon that foundation. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Or the things in our life, that when the judgment of God comes, it's taken care of. So the first thing that he had to do is he had to deal with with that sin problem that we have. Isaiah 53:6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. God looked down through time to every sin committed by man and took those sins and placed them on Christ, just like laying this paper on this Bible. He laid it on Christ. And then what happened? Here's what happened. I'm going to close. God treated Jesus Christ just like he would have had to treat you and me if we had not reached out and accepted the payment of sin. He says, terrible people die and go to hell and they'll be tormented forever and all that. It's not because God didn't try. He judged sin. How many sins did he pay for? Paid for all mankind. Then everybody gets to go to heaven? No. You have to reach out and accept the payment. Well, how do you even know how to do that? He gave us a book. And by the way, it's been preserved for 6,000 years now. And people preach it. People teach it. We can hear it. And we live in a nation where there is no excuse. And we can reach out and accept that payment. And so what God did was he treated Jesus Christ on the cross as to pay for that sin like he would have had to treat you and I. To send us to hell. I don't have time because I'm out of time. But we're going to go back next week and we're going to look at Luke 16. Remember Luke 16 where the rich man and Lazarus died and they went to hell? We're going to look at that. And what we're going to see here, we're going to see a preview of Calvary. And Calvary is a preview of hell. Did you catch that? We're going to see Calvary and realize Calvary is a preview of hell. What Jesus happened to Jesus on Calvary is a picture of hell. I thirst. He was separated from God. My God, my God, well, how thou forsaken? All those pictures. Calvary happened because God said, I'm going to let my son pay the price for your sin. He's going to experience hell, so you don't have to experience hell. Wow. I think it'd be good if God judged Christ for us by paying for our sin. Maybe we ought to live for the Lord. What do you think? What is it that the world's done for you that you want to live for it? Really nothing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thinking about Thanksgiving here in a couple days. We've preached about, thought about, talked about it. God, we ought to be thankful. Thankful, Father God, for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for you. Thank you for the foundation of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Help us to not look like, act like, be like, talk like the world. Let us find out, Lord, what you'd have us to be. Let us walk in the light of the Word of God. May, Lord, we build upon that wonderful foundation of salvation in Christ, that gold, silver, and precious stone, or in other words, those good works that honor and glorify you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.